counterboard a great cream and brown square, woven of the silky hair of the goats of the northeastern isles. The pretended trader put out his hand and felt it, and he smiled. "Aye, you're a gauntishman," said the blaring voice, and the headdress nodding sent a thousand colored dots spinning over the canopy and the cloth. "This is Andridean work, see? There's but four warp strings to the finger's width. Gaunt uses six or more. But tell me why you've turned from working magic to selling fripperies. When I was here years since, I saw you pulling flames out of men's ears, and then you made the flames turn into birds and golden bells, and that was a finer trade than this one." "It was no trade at all," the big woman said, and for a moment Arryn was aware of her eyes, hard and steady as agates, looking at him and Hawk from out of the glitter and restlessness of her nodding feathers and flashing mirrors. "It was pretty, that pulling fire out of the ears," said Hawk in a dour but simple-minded tone. "I thought to show it to my nevy." "Well, now look you," said the woman less harshly, leaning her broad brown arms and heavy bosom on the counter. "We don't do those tricks any more. People don't want 'em. They've seen through 'em. These mirrors, now, I see you remember my mirrors." And she tossed her head so that the reflected dots of colored light whirled dizzily about them. "Well, you can puzzle a man's mind with the flashing of the mirrors, and with words, and with other tricks I won't tell you, till he thinks he sees what he don't see, what isn't there. Like the flames and golden bells, or the suits of clothes I used to deck sailormen in, cloth of gold with diamonds like apricots, and off they'd swagger like the king of all the isles. But it was tricks. Fooleries. You can fool men. They're like chickens charmed by a snake, by a finger held before 'em. Men are like chickens. But then in the end they know they've been fooled and fuddled, and they get angry and lose their pleasure in such things. So I turn to this trade, and maybe all the silks aren't silks, nor all the fleeces gauntish, but all the same they'll wear. They're real and not mere lies, and air like the suits of cloth of gold." "Well, well," said Hawk, "then there's none left in all Horttown to pull fire out of ears, or do any magic like they did." At his last words the woman frowned. She straightened up and began to fold the fleece veil carefully. "Those who want lies and visions chew hazier," she said. "Talk to them if you like." She nodded at the unmoving figures around the square. "But there were sorcerers, they that charmed the winds for seamen and put spells of fortune on their cargoes. Are they all turned to other trades?" But she, in sudden fury, came blaring in over his words. "There's a sorcerer if you want one, a great one, a wizard with a staff and all. See him there? He sailed with Egre himself, making winds and finding fat galleys, so he said, but it was all lies, and Captain Egre gave him his just reward at last. He cut his right hand off, and there he sits now, see him? With his mouth full of hazia and his belly full of air. Air and lies, air and lies. That's all there is to your magic, sea captain goat." "Well, well, mistress," said Hawk with obdurate mildness, "I was only asking." She turned her broad back with a great dazzle of whirling mirror dots, and he ambled off, Arryn beside him. His amble was purposeful. It brought them near the man she had pointed out. He sat propped against a wall, staring at nothing. The dark, bearded face had been very handsome once. The wrinkled wrist stump lay on the pavement stones in the hot, bright sunlight. Shameful. There was some commotion among the booths behind them, but Arryn found it hard to look away from the man. A loathing fascination held him. Was he really a wizard? He asked very low. He may be the one called Hare, who was weather worker for the pirate Egre. They were famous thieves. Here, stand clear, Arryn. A man running full tilt out from among the booths nearly slammed into them both. Another came trotting by, struggling under the weight of a great folding tray loaded with cords and braids and laces. A booth collapsed with a crash. Awnings were being pushed over or taken down hurriedly. Knots of people shoved and wrestled through the marketplace. Voices rose in shouts and screams. Above them all rang the blaring yell of the woman with the headdress of mirrors. Arryn glimpsed her, wielding some kind of pole or stick against a bunch of men, fending them off with great sweeps like a swordsman at bay. Whether it was a quarrel that had spread and become a riot, or an attack by a gang of thieves, or a fight between two rival lots of peddlers, there was no telling. People rushed by with armfuls of goods that could be loot, or their own property saved from looting. There were knife fights, fist fights, and brawls all over the square. "That way," said Arryn, pointing to a side street that led out of the square near them. He started for the street, for it was clear that they had better get out at once, but his companion caught his arm. Arryn looked back and saw that the man Hare was struggling to his feet. When he got himself erect, he stood swaying a moment, and then, without a look around him, set off around the edge of the square, trailing his single hand along the house walls, as if to guide or support himself. "Keep him in sight," Sparrowhawk said, and they set off following. No one molested them or the man they followed, and in a minute they were out of the market square, going downhill in the silence of a narrow, twisting street. Overhead, the attics of the houses almost met across the street, cutting out light. Underfoot, the stones were slippery with water and refuse.